Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Lance Briggs in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, Caleb Williams hit the streets this weekend, and it has Lance Briggs asking some interesting questions. We got to get into some of Lance's thoughts. These are Lance's thoughts on today's episode of the podcast. Also, PFF has some really, really good linebacker rankings on today's episode. And I'm going to be honest with you. If there's linebacker rankings out, I'm coming to the man who knows everything about the linebacker position. And so we're going to bring that to Lance Briggs, get his thoughts on where the Chicago Bears rank on that list. All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, holiday weekend threw us off. It's been a little while. How have you been, my guy?
I've been good. Busy. Very busy. A lot of moving parts over here in the desert. It's really heating up. A lot of sports, a lot of things. Kids here, seven seasons, you know, and it's just it's a madhouse.
Is hockey still going for your son right now? Or are they done right now?
Hockey never ends. Hockey. You know, I mean, it just gets more expensive. That's what happens. It just gets more expensive. So,
well, the good thing is you played really good football here in this city, so you could provide hockey. I ain't gonna lie. Like I looked at some of them hockey prices growing. Hockey was the one sport growing up. I asked my dad to play every sport. I want to play football. I want to play baseball. I saw the hockey list of stuff. I was like, I ain't gotta play this one. I don't.
Hockey was never a thought. It was never a thought. You know, shoot, I didn't even see snow until probably my sixth grade, you know. Yeah. We went on a field trip to, I forget where it is, in the mountains, you know. It was only an hour away. I mean, snow was an hour away from where I grew up, you know. So we drove an hour away when I finally saw snow for the first time. So, yeah, hockey was not a thought. You know, I thought rain was usually as cold as it gets. Then I came to Chicago.
then you spent some time here and played in some of the cold weather games here. Hey, we had some interesting weather this weekend, which brought out Caleb Williams. I mean, it was a pretty nice weekend. A little rain on Sunday. Got a little rainy on Sunday, but it was a pretty nice weekend for the most part. And Caleb Williams was out having himself a good time. He was out among the people. Saw him at a couple of events. He was getting the Meek Mill chant, which I'm not gonna lie, I felt like maybe Meek Mill's got a song that transcends ages, because I felt like maybe Caleb might be a little young for the Meek Mill. Yeah, I mean, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished? I thought that was a little bit before him, but Meek's transcending.
Listen, you know, just like I do, regardless, we all were banging Meek Mill. when he came out.
All right. Hey, my favorite thing that
deal has changed a little bit. Now, keep in mind, like I know that LGBTQ month started. You know,
yeah.
You know, Meek Mill play. It's an interesting time that we're living in. You know,
and that's the route you want to take with that list.
And I mean, you know what I mean? It was the beginning of it all. There's some intertwining pieces there.
There's some crossover, you say.
There's certainly some crossover and all that good stuff. I don't play Meek Mill like I used to, you know, for my own reasons, my own personal reasons. You know, I just felt like, I really feel like I was deceived a bit, you know. I was deceived a bit.
Feel like,
know,
he was lying in the songs a little bit. You feel
like I got to go back and listen to all the lyrics again, over again, in detail.
That was good. Outside of the Meek Mill dreams and nightmares that only half of us even know all the words to, he also got a good Pat Green Bay sucks chant going, which got all the Green Bay fans riled up. You can never go wrong with a solid Green Bay sucks chant, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this had you asking an interesting question about the city of Chicago and how it's going to handle Caleb Williams being in the city. You said, how bad does Chicago, I had a stroke there, that was crazy. How bad does Chicago want to win? And what did you mean by that?
It means that the city of Chicago is built on a longstanding amount of principles, you know, it's blue collar. you know, it's very blue collar. It's tough. It's, you know, this is a sports town. You know, yeah. What I mean, this isn't for the pretty. It's not for the, you know, for the dainty type. You know,
yeah.
And it's always kind of been that way, at least as long as I've ever known and been associated with it. So, you know, and Caleb's different. You know, Caleb's a little, he's different, you know what I mean? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, it just, that's the way he was raised, you know. He's a mama's boy. I know it. I was a mama's boy. I get it. You know what I mean? She worked in the salon, you know, he does his nails, you know, and he approached things a little bit differently, you know, and so when I say how bad does Chicago want to win, you know, how bad is winning? What is it worth? You know what I mean? And having to bend those principles. Now, for a lot of us, you know, we get to the year 2024 and a lot of us that were built on those principles have kids that think a little different too.
Yeah.
You know, our kids think differently. So, you know, it opens us up to something different, but the folks that I know in Chicago, they stand on that principle.
Yeah.
I don't care if they moved out to Florida, if they moved out to Arizona, they stand on those principles, you know, and I'm Cubs, I'm Sox, I'm a Bear fan till I die, you know. Look at the tattoo, you'll see it, you know, it's one of those deals, man. There's a lot of pride that comes with being from Illinois and especially Chicago. So
are you saying though, in the sense of like with Caleb, are you willing to get behind somebody that maybe already knows his star? Right. But is still because I don't think you're saying that Caleb's not talented here. You believe that there's talent, that he can be the guy that can lead you there, but he's not something that Chicago is used to as far as I'm gonna put my head down and go to work. He's somebody that's coming in and saying, no, we're gonna embrace the pressure, we're gonna embrace the all of the cameras, all of the lights. Here comes Hard Knocks, and we're gonna go out there and find a way to win.
He doesn't, he doesn't live within the, I don't know him. I don't believe that he lives within the limitations of what masculinity is supposed to show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm a man regardless of what I do and this or that, you know what I mean? Listen, I'm from California too. So we do stuff like this, but, I don't need to pump my machismo for you to know that I'm a man.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I don't have to prove to you I'm a man. I'm a man no matter what. So it's one of those deals, you know, where as a fan, or someone that's from Chicago that roots for the Bears, you know, it's different. It's gonna have a different feel to it. You know, you are going to see him at a lot of interviews where he can see his fingernails are going to be painted. You know what I mean? That's not something that anybody has been used to.
Right.
You know, there's an authentic self to him. You know, we're going to see that in his interviews and his response and how he reacts to success, how he reacts to failures. And that's something that the Chicago fan base has to get used to, you know? And so if it gets to the, I just saw somebody write cringe, you know, there's going to be moments, I think, where the Chicago fan base is, they're certainly not going to agree with his answer or his mannerisms in the way that he answers those things. But if we're winning,
right?
You know what I mean? In the case that we're winning, it's going to be like, all right, well, I didn't like the way he did that. I didn't like the head movement he had, but shoot, we're winning. Who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what I mean by how bad do you want to win? You know what I mean? And those principles that the principles that we're used to versus what we're going to be getting.
I think that's the thing about it, right? Like the one thing I always say about Chicago, being a former blue collar worker, is we're blue collar. We are hard nosed. We are, you know, we're built on, you know, the things that built the city. We're built on the things that turned Chicago into the city that it is, the construction workers. We're built on unions. We're built on, you know, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you get yourself ready for work, you go to work, sometimes you work a 16-hour days, you come home, you still got to handle your stuff at home. That's how a lot of this city is built. But at the end of the day, the one thing that connects all of us is it's about how you get the job done. As long as the job is getting done, or I should say, it's not about how you get the job done as long as the job is getting done.
Getting done.
And I think that's what the city will always back with any player. We've seen players who have come in here and have been maybe a little bit more eccentric than we're used to, right? I remember everything that went into Dennis Rodman being who he was and the type of person he was and the type of, but when you got to the type of player he was, you just looked at him and was like, I don't care what he does. Like, we got rings out of that. That's the all worm. That matters, right? And so I think that's kind of how the city, I think most people in the city would align themselves with that. And until football starts getting played,
yeah,
people have their opinion.
I think the worm was that he's a very good example of that eccentric character. On the court, he oozed a lot of machismo about, you want to talk masculinity, you know what I mean? Like he's the guy that could take down Shaq.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's gonna bump with Shaq. So it was, you know what I mean? And as wild as he might be and wearing a bridal dress.
A wedding dress. A wedding dress. Married himself.
Right. You know.
You knew you was getting 15 rebounds, though.
Come on. He is an absolute dog on that court. You know what I mean? And we knew that. Everybody knew that before he came over to the Bulls.
Yeah. I think the thing about Caleb too is that, at least from what I've seen, when he's on the field, it's just being at OTAs, and I know it's just OTAs, it's nothing crazy, but anytime there's downtime, he's talking to a coach, he's talking to DJ Moore, he's talking to Keenan Allen, been out there, he's talking to Roma Dunze about, okay, we need to adjust this, we need to do this, you need to look this way, you need, right? He's when he's on the field, he's so focused on football that I don't think that there'll be any issue with how Chicago perceives him. I think when he's off the field, that's what a lot of people end up looking at. And I think my biggest thing is I love the fact that this guy knows his star. I love the fact that this young man knows I'm coming here to change Chicago. That's what Shaq did in Orlando. That's one of my favorite things Shaq said. They tried to do all that rookie hazing stuff to him. And he said, you realize I'm the franchise player, right? Like you're not the franchise player. I'm the franchise player. I'm not carrying your bags. I'm not going to get you donuts because I'm the reason that y'all going to get paid this year. And then they end up showing out. Now you got to back it up. But I think I love the fact that Caleb
Shaq was 7 feet tall. Shaq was 7 feet tall. Like, you know what I mean?
It's been a lot of 7-footers that didn't carry some bags in that league, Lance.
And there's not one Shaq, though.
There's not one Shaq, but I think that's what I'm saying. Shaq knew what he brought. He knew what he provided to the team, and he knew that it was all around him. I think that Caleb has a little bit of that in him as well, where he's like, not to say he's going to be like, I'm not getting donuts, I'm not getting bags, but I know what the pressure is of playing quarterback in this city, and I know what y'all expect of me. I'm not hiding from that. I'm not running from that. And I love that about
it. Good. Good. I also hope that, you know, I mean, I think we'll be patient with him. I think we'll be patient with him. Yeah. But you know that success isn't going to happen overnight. It doesn't, that not in the norm. You know what I mean? If it does, awesome. But in the norm, you need to be patient.
You know how it starts, Lance. You know how this city is. Year one, you know, 90% of the people are on board. Year two, if you're not performing, you start to see the wave break a little bit. Then year three, if you bad, you know what I mean? You're going down. Like, that's been the theme of this city. Hopefully, we don't get to a year three where we're having the same conversation again.
Well, a lot of times we don't have the on paper the team that he is surrounded with.
Especially that's true.
You know, so, you know, when you get into those situations, like I'd say when Trestman was here, and Cutler and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, you know, Matt Forte, you know, that I'd say that was a team that you would say, okay, listen, we need to be succeeding with these players. We have a lot of weapons here. And so I think this is a similar situation. I think that this on paper is even better than that team, you know, because of the O-line, you know, the potential of the O-line that you have. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, that's what, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, that makes a difference. I tell you what, boy, Jay was, people say a lot about Jay. Jay ran for his life a lot. Jay was getting sacked a lot, like back there.
And he was trying to force the ball to Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, trying to force the ball to Brandon Marshall. And you know, and instead of giving the ball, taking what the defense is giving you, you know.
It's going to be interesting to see kind of how this all plays out. I hope that Chicago doesn't do this here's what I don't want to see. And it's the biggest blunder Chicago has probably had in the last 15 years. Well, I guess not the biggest. Drafted Pat Mahomes might help. But outside of that, like probably one of the top two biggest blunders is when Jimmy Butler started realizing who he was. He started realizing, oh, I'm that good of a player. I'm one of the top players in the NBA. Chicago kind of was like, well, you ain't winning no championships, so you need to relax. You need to remember where you came from. You done started to smell your oats a little bit. You hanging out with Mark Wahlberg. And it kind of effectively, you know, the GM and all them felt that way, and they was like, you can go out the door. He goes on to compete in Western Conference Finals and ECFs and NBA championships and ain't won one, but
sure, we let
that player walk out the door.
We got Montez Sweat, and everybody was like, I can't believe we paid this much. I can't believe we gave up a second rounder. And then they saw him play, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing about it was that everyone was – there were a lot of people that were upset that we didn't get the other DN. Yeah. They're like, why didn't we get him, you know? And this actually is a big credit to our GM and his staff for really doing their homework on him, you know, because once Montez Sweat started playing in our defense, they saw what happened to our defense. It's like, whoa, we got a player. Yeah, we got a player. That's exactly what we did. We went and got a doggone player.
Some really good evaluation by Ryan Poles this season. I think that leads perfectly into our next topic because, I mean, when you look at this linebacking crew, a lot of praise has come their way. And when you look at this defense as a whole, but especially from our linebackers, PFF put out a list. And by the way, if you haven't done so, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. This episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80 94. I did my 80s voice on that one, my 80s announcer voice on that one. I don't know if you peeped that. But PFF coming out with a very interesting list that puts the Chicago Bears in a really good light at the linebacker position. I know that this is the season of lists, and at this point, it's like, all right, we got to see some guys play football. But two of these guys on this list, and TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, ranking really, really high, and maybe higher than I thought people would put them out there when you start to look around the NFL. But as you go through the list, I think that this is a pretty solid list. TJ Edwards coming 9 on this list. They said that Edwards' first season in Chicago was as good as his final one in Philadelphia in 2022, with the 2019 undrafted free agent earning a PFF grade above 75, both in run defense and in coverage for the second straight year. He was targeted 91 times in coverage, giving up 2 touchdowns and recording a combined 7 pass breakups and interceptions. Lance, just starting off with TJ Edwards, when you've praised him almost at every turn since we've been doing this podcast, outside of the first few games of the season, do you agree that he is a top 10 linebacker in the NFL right now?
No doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a top 10 linebacker. I really like where he's positioned right now because there's so much growth, and this is the first year in Chicago for him in Chicago. And so I see a lot of room for him to move up, you know, this year. And I think he's going to move up. Matt Milano's coming off of an injury. Yeah. Levante David at 34 is probably one of the smartest linebackers out there. However, you know, there's room to grow on, or for some of these young linebackers to surpass him. I see Patrick Queen moving up, even though he's with a new team. So I really see TJ Edwards moving up a few spots here, and that's good, man. That speaks volumes in how he's played you know, listen, if you take away those first couple of games, and you know, I think he already moves up a few spots.
Yeah.
So you know, he starts this season off on fire. There's no way that you can keep him from out of that top eight.
I think what's interesting, and if you look at, now this is just by the numbers, it's not based on, you know, how many wins the team got. We know what the Bears went through last season, but just based on the numbers, you allowed Roquan Smith to leave, and everybody was like, yo, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? He's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. You can't let Roquan Smith leave. TJ Edwards, by the numbers, had better numbers than Roquan Smith did last season. Had, I believe, more tackles, was a part of more PBUs, was just, not to say that he's a better linebacker overall, but you got him at a cheaper price, letting one of the best linebackers in the NFL go, and you still got top 10 production out of him. Credit to Ryan Poles for and Ian Cunningham, who I believe probably had a little bit more to do on that side, coming from the Philly organization on that one. But like, I thought that was the best thing that you could have done coming into the season, because that was a huge question. Well, how are you going to replace Roquan? Not to say TJ Edwards is an apples for apples replacement, but I think that you found somebody really good with that. And with the money that you would have paid Roquan, you were also able to pick up Tremaine Edmonds, who comes in 11th on this list. And you know, you've been a little bit more critical on Tremaine, how he started the season versus how he ended the season. Do you feel like 11 is a good spot for Tremaine Edmonds as well?
I like 11 for Tremaine. And the thing about him is he gets himself into position. You know, he gets himself into position a lot of times, and he's in position a lot of the times.
Yeah.
He just didn't finish the job. You know what I mean? He just didn't finish the job. And that was what was, what was concerning for me, you know, throughout the beginning and middle of that season. I really liked that he finished strong. I really liked that the opportunities that he was able to create, or that his other teammates created, you know, he was able to finish. You know, he had plenty of turnovers, takeaways. He had plenty of takeaways, you know, and when those Bear linebackers are playing at a high level, you know, they're as good as any unit in the NFL.
Yeah.
So for him really taking it to the next level, Tremaine, you know, if he comes out and all those opportunities, you know, if he's hitting at least 85 to 89% of those plays and making those plays, he's in that top 10. Yeah, you have two linebackers from the same team in the top 10. And yeah, the difference of him being in the top 10 as opposed to not is very minuscule.
I started, when I saw this list, I started looking around at, you know, like the best linebacker duos and what they had, who was in the league. And it ends up taking you down the history of, you know, best duos of all time, stuff like that. And you guys, you and Brian as a group, popped up on almost every list, not just among best linebacker duos, best duos in football, best duos in a sport. I saw one list that had you as a top, they had you 29th on the top 30 best duos all time. Of course, you know, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen ranking high, Travis Kelce, Pat Mahomes, they up there.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Just seeing that you were a part of that, I think that you're perfect to speak on this. Does this group have room to put themselves in that conversation just in the NFL right now? Because I think there was a lot of, with Tremaine, kind of how you looked at Tremaine, you're there, but you ain't getting the job done enough for me to say that they're that high maybe yet.
Yeah. I mean, why not? You have two guys that are knocking on the door for both being in the top 10.
Yeah.
To me, on the field, you know, are you challenging each other? You know, how are you holding each other accountable? You know, if it's third and seven, Tremaine makes a tackle or is supposed to be making a tackle at the five, and either he doesn't make the tackle or the running back falls forward, you know, how does TJ respond to that? Like, does he come up to him? Is he talking to him? Is he saying, hey, man, like, come on, we need that play.
Yeah.
You know, are they, you know, how are they handling it? Or is it, hey, you'll get him next time, tap him on the butt, hey, you'll get him next time type of stuff. You know, listen, we don't have time to be nice. This football is not a nice sport. You know, it's not a nice sport. You know, I mean, it's not. It's really not.
Yeah.
And so And so, you know, I mean, what needs to be said on that field, you know, needs to be said, you know, and we had an opportunity to get off the field and we didn't because you didn't make that doggone play. Right. You know, we're all hustling to the ball. Now, when you get on the sideline, you know, at halftime, whatever it is, you can say, hey, man, you know, I love you, and I only say this because I care, you know, and all that good stuff. But in the heat of the moment, we need to address the accountability before we do anything else. So, you know, are they holding themselves to a higher standard? Are you holding yourselves to a high standard, or is it going to be a tap on the butt and say, hey, no problem, man, you'll get them next play?
Is there something from a because we don't know what they say. And I do remember you saying all last season, like, are they talking out there? Like, I don't hear nothing. But is there something from a technical standpoint that you think that this duo can do to kind of put themselves in that, you know, maybe 5-6 range together and be that top duo in football as far as linebackers?
I mean, everybody has their own habits. You know, it's about the habits that you form. And for, you know, when I was playing, you know, it was demanded that our habits had to be called out. Everything had to be loud. We had to communicate. We had to talk when there was alerts, when there were certain formations, when we were in the red zone, we were calling out, you know, plays that were happening. Hey, alert, alert, alert. Here this comes. Hey, alert, pick, alert, pick, alert, pick. Hey, you know, nasty, nasty split, alert, crosser, alert, toss, crack, alert. You know, there were a lot of communication. And to me, the most dangerous defenses are the ones that communicate, because when you communicate, you know exactly what the other person's doing on your team. You don't want to do guesswork. You know, you can't assume that he knew what you're supposed to be doing and you didn't communicate and you don't know what he knows. So, you know, you eliminate that process and you can just give yourself a better chance.
How much of last season's change? Because we did see the linebackers. I mean, a uptick. I mean, by the end of the season, we were like, these muds are dogs. We got some hunters on this team. You know what I mean? How much of the change do you think came from Montez Sweat being on the team versus by the end of the season, you're pretty comfortable with the system that you're in? For the Chicago Bears there, or his first time working with TJ Edwards, how much do you think comes from just the comfortability of being in the system that maybe carries on?
I think the turn of the defense had started before Montez Sweat was acquired. You know, the linebacker play had picked up and you saw some changes. You saw, you know, 2-3 picks in the same game, you know, two from the linebackers, one from the corners, two from the corners, one from the linebackers. You know, and you saw an uptick of the Chicago Bears defense. Now insert Montez Sweat and you make a jump up, you know, in that improvement. So the turn had already come, and I believe that the turn started because of the high energy play from the linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, I remember talking about, listen, the Sanborn kid, he gets it. You know, he gets it. Yeah. This kid needs to have more playing time. Then it was, whoa, TJ Edwards is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, whoa, you know, it's Tremaine Edwards is he's got a pick or causing a pick, you know, and these guys are all over the place. Now Montez Sweat comes in and there are almost unlimited interceptions now from our defense. They're a lot of fun to watch.
It's so funny because it just seemed like, to me, not that they were at that level yet, but it felt like there was finally a trust of like, okay, I know where you're going to be. I know that you got my back in this moment. And I remember you talking about with Brian, like, Brian, there was moments where you were like, oh, I know this play. No, I'm going to go get the quarterback. And Brian just be like, all right, I trust you. Like, go get him. Like, you better be right. Like, did you kind of see that trust build? And how much does that mean coming into this season, having that trust of your teammate?
The trust is huge. Trust is huge on all, you need that on the whole defense. You have to play as if you know the other guys are going to be where they're supposed to be. You can't play. You can't do somebody else's job, because when you do that, you take away from yours. So so a lot of what you're doing, or everything that you're doing, you play, you know, and I knew that we had a puller coming my way. I'm going to try to destroy this puller as best I can to clean it up for my teammates. you know, and when I get an opportunity that's out in the open field, I have to get this guy down, and I have to get him down right now. Like, I can't allow this guy to get a first down, you know, and it doesn't work every time. Trust me, it doesn't work every time. However, you know, you approach the game, you approach each one of those tackles like that, it will happen for you more often than not.
Yeah. I love what we saw, how the season ended last season. I hope that we see it continue to happen heading into this season. Lance, before we let you get up out of here, man, NBA Finals is coming. Who you rolling with? We got Boston. We got Dallas. Are you just here for a good time? You want to see somebody get that one, though? Is there somebody you like that's going to change some narratives there?
I feel like you're kind of pushing this narrative a little bit. I feel like you want me to say Kyrie. I feel like that's what you want me to say.
Oh, not at all. You could have said Jason Tatum because he finally gets the job. I think the narrative on Jason Tatum is way too overblown. Must talk about Tatum like he has been losing in the first round every year of his career. He has been in the league, I believe, 7 seasons. He's been to 5 ECFs and 2 NBA Finals.
And he'll be back again next year. Let's talk about the formula that Kyrie has been building to get to this point. You know what I mean? Mixing and matching and being here and being here and being here.
Yeah.
And finally being in a place that works.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyrie is an interesting one for me because, man, if you win a NBA championship in them Air Moccasins, bro, that's going to be crazy, bro. You seen them shoes he got on, bro?
More power to you, baby.
Man. Man, if you cross me and I see shingles as I hit the floor, dog, you know how mad I'm gonna be.
But there's nothing you can do to stop him.
There's nothing you can do to stop him. Kyrie, one of the best players to ever hold a basketball. It'd be very interesting to see how all the conversation turns on Kyrie. And it already has started. Yeah, I mean, but how all of the like, oh, he's the worst dude we've ever seen in our life. And then you win an NBA championship, and it's just like, oh, he ain't that bad. Like, all right,
I mean, this goes hand in hand with the conversation we started with Caleb, you know, and how winning really changes things. It changes things and people's perspectives and all these different things, you know. So when you talk about what exactly is your principle? Your principle is to win, you know.
I like to win.
I like to win too.
Not Coach Boone. What was the coach name in Remember the Titans?
Coach Boone.
Well, it was Coach Boone. Coach Yost was the DC. Coach Boone, I'm a winner. I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Zell played that part. Hey, man, appreciate y'all tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Lance Briggs, I'm Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love.
Peace.